To choir. I appreciate that. That was an awesome, beautiful song. And I appreciate the choir because I know they put in a lot of work and they're here on other days of the week to get things just right before they come and worship on Sunday. Thank you very much. I don't know who the new song leader is here in this church, but she sure is good looking, I think. And some of you who may be new are saying, what is Pastor talking about? I'd like to dismiss the kids, 8 and under. If you're 8 and under, we have a program in the back for you right now. So please make your way into the back with Miss Lucita, who is leading at the front this morning. I also have an announcement while they're being dismissed that I was made aware of. Hindra would like to meet with ushers briefly after service today. Is that right this morning? Okay. If you're an usher on the greeting and ushering team, please stay behind. Meet with Hindra in the corner room in the back. If you're interested in perhaps being an usher and helping in this ministry, go ahead and go to that meeting as well. We could use more ushers, greeters. If you're male or female and you're interested in serving in this way, then please be at the meeting directly after. I also want to say it's good to have Peter Atala with us again this morning. Peter, raise your hand. Say hi. There's Peter. Some of you don't remember what he looks like. He's been gone a few weeks. He went on a missions trip with a Campus Crusade, I believe, to Thailand. And I've talked to Peter, and he's going to tell us a little more about it later in the month when more of our people get back. And tell us what all went on, because he's come back excited and a different man now, I think, in many ways. It was good to hear. Today, we're continuing with this short series on Let Us Rise Up and Build Our Relationships with God. And the title of the message is, Why Can't I Stay Out of Trouble? Why can't I stay out of trouble? If you're like me, you hate being in trouble. Amen? I don't like to be in trouble. When I was a kid, I was always in trouble. Hard to understand, hard to believe today. I know, but I was always in trouble. I was at the principal's office more than I was in class. I remember one principal I had to help us to remember how to spell principal. Because there's two kinds of principals. There's the P-L-E at the end, and there's the P-A-L at the end. Principal, principal. A principle is a conviction you live by. A principal is the school head, okay? And he would always say, you spell principal of a school, P-A-L. Why? Because I'm your pal. I'm like, yeah, right, you know, you're the principal, and I don't like to be at the principal's office. There was a time in high school, I was a little tested, and I failed the test big time. My parents were away for a few months. They came back and saw all the things that I had been up to while they were gone. And since they were gone for a period of 3 months, they grounded me for a period of 3 months. I don't like being in trouble. I've been pulled over by the police a few times, not many times, but a few times. And that's embarrassing when you're in the ministry. Why? Because invariably they ask, so what do you do for a living? One time me and Jennifer were driving in Texas. Now, Texas, anybody ever been to Texas in the U.S.? Okay. Just a couple? My family doesn't count. We used to live in Texas, but one time we were driving along the desert, long distance. And if you've been in Texas, there are stretches that are just, you can just see for miles of nothing, and it's dead and deserty, and it's flat, and the road is always four lanes. You never get into small little twisties or anything, four lanes, and there's nobody else on the road. And I didn't have cruise control in my car, and you just kind of start cruising faster and faster and faster, and it doesn't feel like you're going very fast after a while. You get mesmerized. You get into a different mind frame. And I was going too fast, and then I see this nice looking, I think it was a Mustang or a Camaro, pass by, vroom, on the other side. And it was black and white. and then I see in my rearview mirror, he turns around and he's up behind me in an instant. They're very fast. And he's up behind me in an instant. And he pulls me over. And of course the question comes, so what do you do for a living? And I say, well, we're actually, you know, missionaries raising money to go to New Zealand. This was in 1992, I believe. And we're fixing to go to New Zealand. And he says, oh, in ministry, huh? I said, yes, sir. And he says, oh, so you think you're above the law then? I said, no, sir, I'm not. And he let me off. He let me off. But that's embarrassing. I hate being in trouble. And I'm sure you hate being in trouble too. But God has given us problems to equip us. Many people think that when they go through troubles, God is just mad at them. They think, I must be out of the will of God. God must be mad at me, therefore I'm having troubles in my life. That's wrong. That's wrong. A lot of people come and they become Christians, and maybe they're even taught that, you know, when you're a Christian, you're in God's will, everything will go well. And you'll have everything that you want, everything you need. You'll have money, you'll have health. It'll all be taken care of. That's not right. In 1 Peter 4, verse 12, it says, don't be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Underline that in your Bible. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the painful trials that you're suffering, as though something strange were happening here. It's not strange. It's not bizarre. You're not going crazy. It's normal. In verse 19, it says, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Don't be surprised. Continue on. Continue to follow the Lord. Continue to do right. Continue to do well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I know there's people here. There's a lot of people here this morning that can say in their heart, I'm going through some troubles right now. I don't like it. It's painful. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. I pray, Father, that You will help them to better understand how You use these troubles, what You do through them, and enable them to grow far more than they ever could have before. I pray that You will draw them close to You. Fill them, Lord, with Your presence, Your Spirit. I pray, Father, for any person in this room that doesn't have a relationship with You, that You will draw them also. Help them to see how much You love, how much You care, how much You desire to know them. You passionately want to know them and love them, embrace them. Receive them. I pray that they will be drawn to You today. In Jesus' name. Sometimes God's will for your life involves problems, trouble. Sometimes God's will for your life involves suffering. But I want you to remember that God's purpose is always greater than the trouble. God's purpose is always greater than the problems. No matter what you're going through, you say, what is God's purpose in this, in the trouble? What is God's purpose in my problems? I'm going to show you a few ways this morning that God uses trouble and problems to equip you for life. And I brought up here a few things to help me and to stick in your mind to help you remember. A few visual aids, if you would. Number one involves this. You know what this is? I look for a cigarette lighter, but I don't smoke. Anybody here smoke? No one admitting it? Okay. How about here some matches? There's actually only two in here. Matches, you strike them. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to burn anything down. But you strike it. It lights up. It gets hot. It makes heat. And the point of this is that God moves me through troubles. God moves me. Aren't you glad for pain? Pain can be a good thing. Pain can be a good thing. If we did not have pain, you wouldn't know if your hand was stuck in a fire and you had to pull it out. You wouldn't know. I think, who was it? Daniel? Where's Daniel? Daniel did some nerve damage to his left arm and he couldn't feel part of his hand. Can you still feel it now or is it? Okay, and he was working this job. I don't know what he was doing, frying French fries or something? Pizza? And his hand was being cooked and burnt because he couldn't feel it. He couldn't feel it, so he had a pretty bad burn mark on his hand. Pain tells you that something's wrong. When you experience enough pain, you say, I got to go to the doctor. Even guys who hate going to the doctor, and I hate going to the doctor. There comes a time when the pain becomes too intense that you say, I got to go. I've got to get this looked at, examined. I got to get this fixed. I've said this before, but your teeth. No one likes going to the dentist for fun and getting drilled and poked and everything. But when the pain gets so much, you say, I've got to get this looked at. I got to get it fixed. It moves you to action. And emotionally, same things happen. There are times that emotionally the pain gets so bad that you say, I need some help. I need to do something about this. There are times when a relationship gets to the point that it's going so bad that something has to be done. You need help. And you move. And hopefully you make some correct moves. And you move in a good direction. That's how many people come to know the Lord. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here this morning. And you're saying, I came to know the Lord through pain. Because it was through pain that He brought me and showed me I have needs in my life. Jesus said something very similar when He said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a, remember, camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. In other words, He's saying, pain brings you and moves you in the right direction. It'd be better for that rich man to lose everything he has, and say, hey, something's out of whack in my life. I need something else. This is not security. It'd be better for a rich person to lose everything if they find eternal life than to hang on to their security and their status and their wealth and die an eternal death in hell. God uses problems to point us into a new direction, to motivate us. Proverbs 20:30 says, blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. Sometimes pain is good. Sometimes we need it. We need it. Sometimes God has to light a fire under you to get you to move. We're laying back at times in our Christian easy chairs, watching TV, and it's comfortable, and you get comfortable. But when God wants you to grow, wants you to move, wants you to change, sometimes the only way is to light a fire, to have a little bit of pain, and it makes you think. It makes you say, I got to do something. I need something in my life. It's not fun, but for some reason we're stubborn people. Maybe you're more stubborn than your spouse next to you. Maybe your spouse is more stubborn and you know it. And it takes more for their thicker heads. And God has to get a 2x4 and smack you in the back of the head to get your attention. There's an old saying that we don't change when we always see the light, but you change when you feel the heat. You don't always change just when you see the light, but when you feel the heat. Elijah at the brook during the famine, during the drought, it was a comfortable, good place to be. God dried up the brook because it was time for him to move on. He caused a trouble. He had to move. Jonah. Jonah. God told Jonah he wanted him to do something. Jonah didn't want to do that. So he got on a nice cruise ship and sailed in the opposite direction. God had to turn up the heat. And it made it a little uncomfortable. When you're sitting in the bottom of an ocean, in the belly of a large fish, it's a bit uncomfortable. The heat's been turned up. And you say, you know what, maybe I made a mistake here. Maybe I need to listen to God. Maybe I need to change direction. Maybe my life isn't quite going the way I wanted it to go. I've made a mess of things. Have you been there? Have you been in the belly of a fish? Proverbially. Have you been in the bottom of the ocean in the belly of a fish? Asking those questions. 2 Corinthians 7. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians before he wrote 2 Corinthians. Okay, that's why we call them 1 and 2. Two letters. The first one, Paul ripped into them. Every chapter was a correction and a rebuke for another new thing that they were doing wrong. He wrote to them and he had some hard things to say that they needed to hear. And I want you to praise God for anybody in your life that can come to you, that will come to you and correct you with some hard things that you need to hear, because they're good friends. They're good friends. Paul was a good friend. And Paul said, I see that my letter hurt you. It would cause pain. My letter caused you trouble. It was uncomfortable. But only for a little while. Yet now I am happy. Not because you were made sorry. Not because it hurt. But because your sorrow led to a change. Your sorrow, the pain that was caused to you, the discomfort, the heat, caused you to move. Caused you to do something about it. He says, I'm sorry that you were in such pain. But it was only a little while, and it was worth it. It was worth it because that pain caused you to do something. It caused you to move in the right direction. It's what you needed. God sometimes allows trouble in our lives to move us. Amen? The question to ask yourself during times of trouble. Question to ask, where is this problem leading me? God, where are you moving me? What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you're trying to get my attention to do? A problem never leaves you where it found you. It should not leave you where it finds you. Number two is this. It involves this. See what this is? A little teabag, okay? I'm good. I only got small visuals. I wanted a big tea bag, but they don't make them. Number two is this. God tests you through troubles. God tests you. He uses problems to test you and to see what you're really like on the inside. What do you do with tea bags? To see what's inside of them. Don't tear them open and take a look. You put them in hot water. And then you see what's inside and the flavors come out. And it's either good tea or it's really bad tea. This is good tea. It's Dilma. Dilma Moroccan mint. Good stuff. God uses problems and troubles in life to test you. To see what you're like on the inside. Like I said last week, you know, you may say, I have faith in God. And then He sends something along to test your faith. It's easy to say, I have faith, until your job's taken out from under you. And you have no source of income. You have no way of paying the bills. And then you start realizing, my faith isn't all I thought it was. My faith isn't everything that I used to say it was. It's been tested. And I've been found wanting. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, says, God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. The people of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. The people of Israel, they were supposed to be going to the promised land. And from Egypt to the promised land, if you marched, that was about a 2-week march, I understand. 2 weeks. And it took them 40 years. 40 years. What a waste of time. But God used that time to test them. Has God ever used a problem to test you? You bet He has. In James chapter 1, verse 2, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Excuse me? Consider it pure what? Joy. Do you consider it pure joy? Do you consider it pure joy? Because you know that the testing of your faith, you see the connection, trials and testing? The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Notice it says here, whenever you face trials. It doesn't say if you face trials. So just circle that, whenever. And say to yourself, I am going to have trials. I am going to have troubles. I'm sorry, but this is the earth that we live on. This is not heaven. In heaven, we won't have any more trials. There will be no more death, no more suffering, no more sickness. Nothing like that. But this is the earth. And it's tainted by sin. And we know that. And Jesus Himself said, you will have trials and tribulations. Don't be surprised. So let's get used to that. There may be varied, there may be different kinds, different shapes, different sizes, different colors, but they're all useful. The question to ask, then, is what do the problems reveal about me? What does this trouble I'm in reveal about me? God, if you're testing me through this, if the trouble I'm in right now is a test, what does it show about me? What does it show? There was a time in my life, I mean, there's been many times, but I remember a time in my life when God was holding me in the hot water and seeing what's inside of me. And my security was gone, and I didn't have a means and a way to take care of my family. And it was a scary time. And I'm sure many of you can attest and say, yes, I've been there. I know what that's like. And it's not fun. But there were times I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how, you know, God was going to take care of me. And I want you to know that I realized then my faith wasn't all that I had made it out to be. I didn't have the kind of faith in God that I thought I did. But I want you to know God used that time. And that time I can look back on now and say was one of the greatest, one of the best growing times that I've had. One of the times that I drew closer to the Lord than I ever had. It was a fantastic time and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't want to do it again. Honestly, it's not fun. But God used that and He tested me. And I grew stronger from it. And so do you. If you allow Him. If you see God's purpose in it. And if you understand God's testing me through this. God, what is it showing about me? And grow from it. Number three is this. It involves this ruler. Okay? And I try to think of something that goes with this. Because number three is God teaches me through troubles. And so I'm like, what on earth can an illustration show teaching? How do you show teaching? So I thought of a ruler. Why? Because, rulers are used for teaching. Teachers use rulers, and they point to the chalkboard with a ruler. And when I was a kid, they, you know, whack your hand with a ruler. They don't do that now, of course. Yeah, that's child abuse. I was abused a lot as a child, I guess. That was before it was abuse. It was called discipline. And I got whacked, you know, a lot with the ruler. Sometimes God uses a problem to teach us. If life is a school, then our troubles are curriculum. That's what we learn from. Psalm 119, verse 71. It was good for me to be afflicted, David said, so that I might learn your decrees. It was good for me to have troubles. It was good for me to have the pain so that I can learn. It was good to have the discipline so that I can learn. Learn. The truth is that we learn a lot more through suffering and failure than we do through success. We learn a lot more through suffering than we do success. Often when it's success, we forget all about God. I've seen that with people who profess Christ as their Savior. I've seen that with people who profess to know God. And in the midst of success, they forsake the one that they claim. And sometimes we get in the middle of trouble and we learn. We learn a lot. When I was a little boy, I was told, don't touch the hot stove. Did I touch it? Sure I did. Of course I did. But once I touched it, I understood why I was not to touch it. I learned. I learned through pain. I learned by being burned, and that's a principle in life. There are some things that we only learn through being burned. So God uses problems to direct us, inspect us, to correct us. And the truth is, we often learn the value of something by losing it. Often we learn the value of money by going bankrupt and losing it all. And then we start learning its value a little bit. Often we learn the value of a good relationship when we lose it. A good friendship when it's no longer there. Often we learn the good value of health when it's broken and we don't have it anymore. We learn through troubles. Why is this? I don't know. I don't know. We're stubborn. But sometimes God uses problems to correct us and teach us lessons that we just would not learn any other way. Amen? That's the truth. God uses pain to teach us. But Hebrews 12, verse 7 tells us to endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as what? Sons. You could put in daughters. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Discipline is proof that you're a Christian. How do you know when you're a believer or not? When God disciplines you. When God moves you through a bit of pain, a bit of suffering. It's proof that we're His. It shows us that God is our Father. At home, I discipline our kids. And that's just every day. You know, I discipline our kids, all four of them. And they need it. They need a loving discipline. I don't discipline the neighbor's kids. There are times they drive me crazy and I want to. There are times I want to smack the neighbor's kids. But I don't do that. Why? They're not mine. I am not responsible for them. They are not my children. I can't do that. It's not my place. When we're disciplined by God, it shows us that He is our Father. He's our Father. Love is the motive. Question to ask then when you're facing troubles is, what is this problem teaching me? God, what is this problem teaching me? When the problem comes, don't say, why me? Why me, God? That's a pity party that we're all prone to. But say, God, what do you want me to learn from this? God, what is it that you're trying to show me? What is it that you're trying to teach me? That's the right attitude to have. Number four. God protects me. through troubles. You know what this is? It's a plaster. A Band-Aid. A sticky plaster. I had to use one of these on my son this morning. A sticky plaster. What does it do? It makes boo-boos feel better. It makes kids feel better when they have an accident. But what it does is it protects. It protects. When you have an open cut, when you have a sore, when you have an owie, it covers the wound. It protects it. God uses a problem sometimes to protect you from a greater problem. God is working in your life even when you don't understand it. I believe that there are times in your life that troubles are there. And you don't understand it. All you see is the trouble. But I've often said that sometimes our life is like us driving through valleys and up in the hills and windy roads. Speaking of which, this past week, Jen and I and the family, we went up north. We went all the way to the very tip of the island. It was fantastic. But some of the roads on the way up there, while very beautiful, it's very windy. And we had to keep stopping, letting the kids get out and throw up, you know, their lunch. And then we drive another kilometer and stop and throw up. And so it took us a while to get there. Now, what was the point of that? Oh, you know, you can't see what's ahead a kilometer. So, you know, you wish you could. You have to stay on your side of the road because just around this sharp corner might be a big truck coming or a car. And you better just drive carefully and slowly. And so that's the way our life is. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's up ahead. All we see is what's right here before us. But God is like a guy up in a helicopter observing us, watching over us, looking down on our lives, on the path that we're on. And He sees everything. He sees the future. He sees what's going to happen if you go down this path. He sees what's up ahead. And so in our faith, we trust that God knows best, even if we can't see it. God knows best. So God protects us at times through troubles. Joseph, remember Joseph in the Bible? He had 11 brothers who hated his guts. They hated him. They despised him. They were out one time, and if you know this story, you know how it goes. They thought about killing him, I'm sure, but they thought, nah, that's just too bad. We know we can't be that rotten to our brother. So what will do, you know, they threw him in a pit. They left him there and they're debating what to do with him. And what they did was they sold him to some slave traders going down to Egypt. And then what they did was they took his coat that his dad gave him and they killed the animal, dipped the coat all in the blood. And they took it back to Dad and said, Dad, we don't know how this happened, but it looks like, you know, something got our little brother. Sorry. And so Dad thinks that, you know, young Joseph is dead. Joseph ends up down in Egypt as a slave. Do you think he has troubles? Heavens, yes. But he still understands that God is in control. He can't see what's around the corner. He can't understand it, but he believes and trusts in God through it. And life then goes from bad to worse for Joseph as he ends up being accused by a very powerful man's wife of trying to rape her. And he ends up in prison. And so now Joseph is spending his life in prison. Troubles? Absolutely. Absolutely. But as time goes on, he gains trust, he gains power, and Joseph rises to second in command of Egypt in power. And he, through God's guidance, through believing God and trusting God, during a time of famine, God gives him the wisdom to be able to prepare and to take care of all the people of Egypt through the famine. Well, up where his dad was, the famine hit hard. And Dad sent the brothers down to Joseph to see if they can help with some food, if Egypt can help with some food. And so who did the brothers have to come and see? Joseph. The one that they chucked in the pit. The one that they sold to the slave traders. They had to come to him and see if he would help. They didn't recognize him at first. Things had changed. He looked different. He dressed in nice clothes now. And they thought he was probably out building pyramids somewhere. But there's Joseph. And Joseph, well, he forgives them. He takes care of their needs. He gets them to come and live down there with him and bring dad down. And he makes this statement in Genesis 50, verse 20. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." And there's times that we have to just believe that whatever is intended to harm us, God is intending it for good. Do you understand it all the time? No. Can you see clearly all the time? Absolutely not. And you may never see clearly. I don't know. Hopefully at some stage you'll be able to say the same thing as Joseph and be able to look back and see God's hand in it all. But even if you die not knowing why you went through some of the troubles you went through, still know that God intends it for good. Still know that God is overlooking you and He cares about you. And He loves you. He's looking down on you. He wants the best for your life. The truth is, in life you will be hurt. You can count on being hurt in life. People are going to try intentionally to hurt you. People are going to unintentionally hurt you. Both. But you will be hurt in life. They intend it for bad, but God intends it for good. God can use other people's pain, and even if they intend it for evil, God can use it. He uses it for good. So ask the question, when you're going through troubles, how is this problem protecting me? How is this problem protecting me? What is it protecting me from? What is being prevented? Number five is, God perfects me through trouble. God perfects me. God uses problems to mold me and make me and shape me into the person that He wants me to be. Romans 5, verse 3. Says, "We also rejoice in our sufferings." Again, there's that rejoicing sufferings kind of thing. And maybe to you that's foreign speak. But it says that we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Sufferings produce in us and perfect us and shape us with what God intends for us. God is more interested in your character than your comfort. This is a very small one, so you have to have, you know, special Superman eyesight. You know what this is? Ethel. You know what this is? This here, what is this, Harry? What kind of gum? Okay, man. We went up north into the Cowrie Forest and Gretchen found this little piece of Cowrie gum. We were in a shop and they were, you know, selling all kinds of sizes of Cowrie. But some of it they made into nice, beautiful jewelry. Cowrie gum directly out of the ground doesn't look that spectacular. In fact, it looks like dirt clods. It's not that beautiful. Kind of like a diamond. You see a raw diamond, it's not a beautiful thing. But when they take it, they cut off the rough edges. And some of us have rough edges to cut off. And when they begin to polish it up and cut it a certain way, it begins to be something beautiful. It begins to be something attractive. It begins to look like The artist wants it to look who's shaping it and working with it. Some of us are like that. We're got a lot of rough edges in our life. Not that attractive to begin with. There's nothing beautiful in us, in ourselves. But God uses the troubles that come in our life as tools that shape us, that polish us, that make us into something beautiful that He intended. God's number one purpose in your life, listen, is to make you more like Jesus. He wants to make you into the image of His Son. He wants to develop your character. He wants you to be a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. How does God do it? A lot through trouble. He shapes us through the Bible, yes, and we learn from this. But unfortunately, He also uses circumstances. Circumstances. You could read that as trouble. As trouble. I want you to close your eyes. Bow your head now if you would. Think of a problem in your life that you're facing. For some of you, that's real easy right now. It's the first thing that comes into your head. Think of a problem that you're facing. With that in mind, let's take a look at this list and let's apply it. First of all, ask the Lord, Lord, are You using this problem to move Me? To get my attention to move? If so, what is it that You want Me to change? What new direction is it that You're trying to direct my life? And number two, Lord, are You using this problem to test me? If so, what does it reveal about me? What are You seeing? Is there a weakness? Is there some priorities that have been misplaced? Is there compromise in my life? Is something lacking? Lord, what does this show about me in my life? Third, Lord, are You using this problem to teach me something? Perhaps I brought this problem on myself and I am reaping what I sowed. But what is it that You want me to learn? What is it that You want me to learn? Number four, are You using this problem, Lord, to protect me from something? Heavenly Father, You know best. Maybe it's a problem, but You don't really know what He's saving you from. Rejoice in the trials. Rejoice in the troubles. Thank Him for it. And last, Lord, are You using this problem to perfect me, to make me into something beautiful, to make me more like Christ? Regardless of what you're going through right now, I want you to know a few things. God sees the problem that you're going through. He knows all about it. It's not a surprise to Him. It's not something that catches Him off guard. He knows you. He cares about you. The Bible says that He knows the very number of hairs that are on top of your head. My goodness, how He cares about you. And second, not only does He see it, but He cares about you. He cares deeply about you. You're not just a speck on the great universe. You're a person that's been made in the image of the Creator. You're a person that's been made for a purpose and a reason. To know, to love, to have a relationship with God. He cares. Not only does He care, not only does He see, but He has the power to change your situation. He does have the power to change what's happening, to see you through it. But fourth, He wants to change you first. He's more interested in who you are, in your character, than in just providing you with comfort all the time. He wants to change who you are first. Will you let Him? Some of you, I believe this morning, need to take a look at the problems that you're facing and analyze them. You need to do some business with God. You need to go through these five ways that God uses trouble. And you need to thank Him for it. Ask God to show you what He's teaching you. Ask God to show you how, you know, He's testing you, what He's saving you from, how He's perfecting and shaping you. You need to do some business with God. And I invite you to do that. Would you stand with me?